Daf Samach Vov Omer Aleph. About 12 lines down from the top, the first word in the learning is Achshav. I will start with Omar Rabba. What we've clarified and established until this point in the previous sugya is that with regard to Gneva, there's a Chalashem Shinui which gives Kinyonim to the Ganav. And the Gemara now wants to take this a step further and speak about a different kind of a kinyan, not a kinyan shinui, but a kinyan yesh. That's what we're coming to learn today. Amar Rabba says the following. Shinui kone. We have no doubt that shinui is kone, which means as the ganav actively changed the object, even if it's what we call a shinui hachozer libriyoso, as Tosus points out, meaning that you can reverse the process of a shinui, nevertheless, shinui is kone. And we're going to derive that both from a pasuk, says Rabba, and from a mishnah. And again, about this issue, there's no suffix. The Torah recognizes the ganav's ability to be kone with a shinui. Ksiva, the Torah says, whatever it says, and we'll see the pasuk in just a minute. Visanina, the Mishnah says, whatever it says, and we'll see the Mishnah in just a minute. Ksiva, the pasuk, veheshiv es hagzela asher gazal. At the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, in the parasha of Modeh, a person who's kofer b'mamon shel chaver, and then he was Modeh, and we find that he has his friend's mamon in his rishus, meaning he's confiscated, he's stolen, in effect, his friend's mamon. The Torah says that such a person is obligated to be meshiv es hagzela. But notice that the Torah adds two words. It could have just said veheshiv es hagzela. We would understand that he has to return the stolen object. Why did the Torah go out of its way to add these two extra words? Asher gazal. Ma tamalom asher gazal. And the answer is that the Torah, with these two extra words, is instituting a condition. When does the ganav have to return the object? That's im ke'en she'gazal, asher gazal. Asher gazal is a description of the object that's in the hands of the gazlan. He has to return it because the object is asher gazal ke'en she'gazal. It's exactly as it was at the time that he stole it, without any shinui. Yasser is obligated to return it v'im lav. But if, on the other hand, the object has changed, and therefore, through this shinui, it's not ke'en she'gazal, and the mitzvah and the chiyuv of a heshiv she'gazal no longer applies because it's not a she'gazal, ke'en she'gazal is dumb in the alma boy shlume. Now the chiyuv gazon is transformed from returning the object to returning its worth, its value, and the reason for that is because the gazlan was kone the object. And how was the gazlan able to be kone the object? The answer is through shinui. And here is a famous yesod of Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan says, wait a minute, okay, the Torah says that there's no mitzvah hashava, but the Torah didn't say in a positive sense that the gazlan was kone. But the answer is, and this is a phenomenal yesod, says Rabbi Chanan, that essentially the Maisa Gnev itself inherently gives the gazlan the power to be kone the Gneva. He lifts it up and he makes a kinyan Gneva. He's chayv to pay mos, to pay its value as an exchange for the object. What is the counterforce that prevents that mechanism from operating? Right? You have in a sense, an anti-gravitational pull here. What's pulling the other direction is the chiyuv hashava. You can't tell me that the gazlan, through his hagbah, was kone because he has to return the object. So it's the chiyuv hashava that's mafkia, the kinyan of the ganav through the maisa gneva. If we can only be mafkia that chiyuv hashava, if we can only liquidate the chiyuv hashava, then maybe we go back to square one, and the hagbas hagzela, when he takes it out of the rishus of the gaz of the nixal, is itself capable of creating, generating a kinyan on behalf of the gazlan. And that's this drasha that Rabba presents here in our sugya. We're going to liquidate or neutralize the chiyuv hashav because it's not kein shegazal, that's shinui. And through that mechanics, once the chiyuv hashav is no longer incumbent upon the gazlan, he doesn't have to return this object, memela, his maisa kinyan is chal on his behalf. And that's called shinui koina ksiva, it says it in the Torah. Now we go on to Tanina. Not only is it written in the Torah, but it's also codified in the Mishnah. There's the Mishnah later on, in Daf Tzadik Gimel Amid Beis. The Mishnah says, HaGozel Eitzim V'Asan Kelim. He stole wood, and he built utensils out of this wood. Or, Tzemer, he stole wool, V'Asan Begadim, and he wove clothing out of this tzemer, out of this wool. Is the Mishnah establishes Mishalim Kishas Hagzela. Then in such a case, we don't say, you know what, let him return the Kalim, let him return the Begad. That's his Chovas HaShavah. No, the answer is he was Kona with Shinui. And if he was Kona with Shinui, there's no Chiv HaShavah on this Chefta. Now his Chiv transforms itself into a Chiv Damim to pay the value of the Gzela. And that's what the Mishnah means when he says Mishalim Kishas Hagzela. So again, it seems clear from this Mishnah, that's the underlying principle of this Mishnah, is that he pays the gazlan the amount of money that reflects the value of the eitzim, of the raw material that he stole, or the value of the wool, as it was valued at the time of the Maisa Gzela. And if Shinui wasn't Kona, what does that mean that he pays the value of the Eitzim, pays the value of the Tzemer? He would have to be Meshiv, he would have to fulfill his Chiyuv HaShava, return the Eitzim, the Kalim, and return the Begadim. And the answer is that Shinui is Kona. Inami, Rav now invokes a different Mishnah from a different Masechta to again establish that Shinui is Kona. And this is the Mishnah at the end of Chulin, on Daf Kuf Lamed Hey, in the Sugya of Reishis Hagez. And is Machlokas Beisel Beit Shammai, at what point is a person of Balabayis Chayev to give the Kohen Reishis Hagez? According to Beisel, Hagozei Tzemer Michamesh Rechelos. He sheared off the wool of five different sheep. He's Chayev in Reishis Hagez. And he has to be, that's one of the matnas kuna which he has to give to the Kohen. The Kohen gets his portion in the Giza. Again, which Kohen we don't know. The Balabayis has what's called Tovas Anot to decide to which Kohen he wants to give the Giza. Is what happens, the Mishnah wants no lo hispik litno lo achit tzva'o. If before the Kohen was given his portion in the Reish Sagez, the Bailim went ahead and they died, D-Y-E-D, die with a tseva, the tsemer that was gozus. Again, when we're talking about that he died the tsemer, it means the entire tsemer was converted to a different color. If there's something still left in its original state, that'll have to be mekayim the mitzvah of Nesina Lakoin with that section. But in this particular scenario, the Mishnah describes he was tzovea the entire Reishis Hagez of all the five Rechelos. Is part of the Mishnah establishes thus case he doesn't have to give anything to the Kohen. You'll ask me this Mammon Kohen over here. And when the Mishnah says Potur, the principle here is that he doesn't even have to pay Mos. So let's go Mimanavshah. On the level of Be'en, on the Cheft itself, where is the Reish Sagez? There we say Alma, the Gemara says Shinui Kona. The fact that the wool in its natural state is one color, now it's been dyed and it's a different different color, that itself is a Shinui. You might ask me, but okay. let the Kohen at least collect Domim, right? We said that Shinui is not enough to be Mafkia, the Chiv Domim of a Gazlan. If this Bala Bayis went ahead and he died the shearings, he's got to pay the value that's Magir to the Kohen, Reish Sages. The answer is, he doesn't have to pay that because it's Mamon She'en Lo Tovim. Because which Kohen can force him to pay that? It may belong to Shevet Kahuna, but not to any specific Kohen. There's no Kohen who could be Tovea, pay me Domim, because you went ahead and you colored my shearings, my Reish Sages. And this is a famous sugya in Chulin called Mazik Matnos Kahuna. And the din is that you're potter in such a case, because although the matonis belong to Sheva Kahuna, there's no specific, we cannot single out one specific coin who could be Toveya and say, well, that moment comes to me. Again, there's another sugya called Makire Kahuna, which is both in Chulin and in Gittin and elsewhere. But we're not talking about Makiri Kuna, where he constantly, consistently gives it to one particular Kohen, and therefore no Kohen can step forward and claim the Domim, the value of the Reishis Hages. But Alma, again, to repeat the bottom line here of Rabba's presentation, Shinu Kone. And since the Tzemer was completely colored, even the Chelek, even that portion that belongs to the Kohen, it was colored, it was changed. Therefore, the Tzoveya now has made a Kinyan, and it left the Rishus of the Kohen. So we see that it's, that Shinui has the power to be Kona. That's for sure. We have it both in the Pasuk. Now we have it in two Mishnayos. One Mishnah here in Bava Kama about Gozel Eitz and Masan Kalim. One Mishnah in Chulin in the case of Tzavo of the Reish Tzages. All this is an introduction to our sugya for today. And that's the Suffolk of Rabbah. Yeush. What's the status of Yeush? We know that Shinui is Kona, but is Yeush Kona without Shinui? And the precedent for this concept of Yeush, where's it coming from? From, you know, which halachic galaxy is it coming from? The answer is from the galaxy of Aveda. When a person loses an object, he still has kinyonim on the object. However, there is a halach of Yeush. Meaning if a person A, loses the object, can't find it, he can't locate it, and B, he gives up hope, that's called Vayli L'chisaron Kis, I've lost this money, I can't find it, there's no way I'll get it back. Through that despair, anyone who comes along and picks up the object subsequent to the Eish is now able, capable of making a Kinyan. Because the Kinyan HaBailam was Mufka, was removed through Yeish. Now again, I'm not sure whether Yeush is a Kinyan in the case of Aveda, or it's just Mafkia, what we would call Chovas Hashav. In other words, it could be that the Bailim still technically own the object until someone else makes a Maisa Kinyan and takes it in a positive way into his Rishus. But Yeush certainly removes the Kinyan of the Bailim, in this case the Ma'abe, the one who lost the object. Says Rabba, what about Gneva? What happens if the Nignav, from whom the object was stolen, gives up? He despairs of ever getting it back. Again, that would logically apply if a big, burly, you know, dangerous guy came and at gunpoint, you know, he stood up the Nigzal. You know, the Nigzal doesn't expect, you know, to, you know, like Wyatt Earp, you know, want the dead of alive, that he'll get it back. And here, Rabba says the following. Let's just carve out the scope of this suffix. Amar Rabbanan de Nignei. There's no question that a Ganav can be Kona with Yeush. If the Bailim, the Nignav, give up hope, the Ganav is Kona. He doesn't have to give back the object. He has to pay its mos. Miu lo yadinan, says Rabba, I don't know the nature of this din. E doraisa e drabbanan. Can we derive from Hashavas Aveda that just like Yeush is Kona, and anyone could come along and pick up the object and pocket it, so in a lost object, so too it could be Kona and Gneva? Well, no, Yesh L'chalik, there's a fundamental difference, as we'll soon see, between Aveda and Gneva. Now, it's very strange, the language of the Gemara. Rabba, even in his introduction to his Sufik, he says, Ami Rabbanan de Nignei, which sounds like it's Takonis Chachamin. But yet Rava himself vacillates as to whether or not it's a Doraisa. So the Rashba says, Ketzad nokat Rava v'loshon omru chachomim v'nikne she'enu shayach el b'dov she'poshiru she'kein v'ilu din zeh she'yesh kolom etzinu v'shum mako b'feirush. And the Rashba adds a little bit of teeth to his question. Rava assumes that there's a definite takonet chachomim that yesh is konen gneva. How do we know that? Later on we'll see that according to Rav Yosef, there's no such din. The halacha that a ganav could be konen yeish applies in Shini Maisa, in Shini Hashem. We'll see all the different variations and permutations. Says the Rashba that the kavana, what Rava meant to say, the chachom amru sheyesh kona, that's according to Rav. There are many brises that support Rav Yosef, that there is no such halacha as yeish kona, not even midrabbana. But Rav, later on, adaf samach zayinom in beis, interprets the mission of Gonev min Aganov, which means that the one who steals it from the Ganov doesn't pay Kefel. Says Rav, later on, as we'll soon see, not today, but another time, that only applies if there was no Yeish Bailim. If there was Yeish Bailim, then the Ganov, the first Ganov, was Kodeh, the object from the Bailim, and the Gonev min HaGanav has to pay Kefel. So we see clearly that Rav is predicated on the premise that Yeush is Kona. And that's why the Ganav is Kona with Yeush, and the Gonev min HaGanav is Chayv to pay the Ganav Kefel. And all those other brises which Rav Yosef is going to quote, he's going to invoke to prove to him that Yeush is not Kona, those brisos were not accepted by Rava. So therefore, again, as we move forward here, where the Yeish is Konen Ganov, Rava establishes that, as far as the Rabbanan level is concerned, we'll see something called Takonas HaShov, and the Rabbanan definitely instituted that after Yeish of the Ganov, of the Nigdav, the Ganov doesn't have to return the object. That's Klar. That's Poshut, without a suffix. However, is it possible that the nature and the status of this Kinyan Yeish is even Doraisa? And what would be the basis for Doraisa? Midi dahavi amotze aveda. A person finds a lost object, motze aveda lav, isn't it so? That's a rhetorical question. Kevon demiyayish moramine mekamide teisil yoda. If the owner who lost his object can't find it, gave up hope before anyone picked it up, kanile, then the motze, the one who finds it, is finders, keepers, losers, weepers, and he makes a kinyan on it. And Yeish is konen aveda, says Rashi, based on the posuk in Parshas Kiseitze, the parsha of aveda, it says v'chein tase l'chol aveda sachicha asher tova bimenu u'mitzasa. And the Gemara says the chiyuv hashava, and that whole mitzvah and the whole parsha of hashava sveda only applies something which is lost from the Bailim, but anyone else can find it. If it's avud mikol adam, that's called avud menu mikol adam, that's shuli social nar, it's on the bottom of the sea, or it was different beams of wood that were completely washed away by the tides, then anyone who saves them is allowed to keep it for himself, and that's based on the halacha of Yeish. So that Rashi finds the source of Yeish in the parasha of Avudu Mimenu Mikol Adam. Tosa says that Yeish is Kona in Aveda from a different source. The same parasha that we mentioned before says V'chein Tasa L'Sim Loso, and in B'Metziach of Zion, Sim Loso becomes a paradigm of a Dovash Yeish Bos Simon, as we've discussed many times in the past, because again, they didn't have mass manufacturing and production. So every single simlah was different, had its own unique simon to it. And therefore the Bailim have hope that if they give the simon, they can identify it, the object will be returned and they're not Messiah. Mashma, that if it had no simon, there would be Yeish Bailim. So again, we have two possible sources on a Doraisa level for Yeish being Kona in Mitziah, meaning Yeish is Mafkia, the mitzvah of Saveda, and finders keepers. One is, according to Rashi, it says Umitzasa, which is coming Lafuke Avudim Yemenu, we call Adam, and the other is Tosus's Simla, which is a Dovashesh Bo Simon. Without the Simon, the Bailim are Misyash. Hachinami, says Rava in Sad number 1, shall we assume by analogy the same thing applies to a Gadov? Kevin the Miyayish Mora, if the Bailim, the Nignav, was Misyayish, is Kanile, the Gadov now makes an acquisition through Yeush. If Yeush has the power to be Kone in Aveda, it should have the same power to be Kone in Gneva. And I think the underlying premise of this analogy in this tzad that Yeush is Kone Midrais and Gazlan and Ganov is the fact that just like in Ovud, when the object is lost, it's not lost objectively until we get to the point of Yeush. Yeush means cut the umbilical cord. The shame Ovud becomes complete, and that's Mafkia the Bailus. Here too, in the case of Ganov, the very moment that the Nignav gives up hope, he, so to speak, acknowledges and recognizes that it's stolen, and the shame Ganov is complete, and that is Makna, that generates a positive kinyan on behalf of the Ganov. Oh, Dilma, what's the other side to say? No, that is a difference between Aveda and Gneva, Lodamya. Lodamya, Aveda. There's no similarity between Gneva and Aveda. Why? There's a fundamental distinction. Aveda, hudchi asoy liyode, behetera asoy liyode. There's a halacha in Aveda that the only time that Yeush is meaningful is when the Yeush is chal before the finder picks up the object. Once the finder picks up the object, there's no chal shem Yeush. Because that's called bisur asiliyadeh. What does that mean, bisur asiliyadeh? The very moment that someone picks up a lost object, there's an isur. What does it mean, an isur? He's not allowed to pocket it for himself. Lo suchal isalim, hashev teshiva, he has to return it. Once he has to return it, he's really holding on to it on behalf of the owner. He may not know, and he doesn't have the capacity now to be sure to identify who the owner is, but whoever the owner is out there in the veld, he's got to find it. And now he becomes a Shomer Aveda, and he's an extension of the Yad HaBailim, and there's no room for Yeush. The object, in a certain sense, in the halachic universe, is considered to be located in the Rishus HaBailim, and there's no Yeush. So when does Yeush operate? Yeush operates only by Hetera Asliya, though. It means that the Yeush took place before the finder picked up the object. And at that point, the Yeush could be Chal and could prevent the emergence of a Chiyuv Mitzvah Sashavas Aveda. Well, hi, but here in the case of Gneva, when we talk about Yeush, that's came into be Surah Asliya. The Ganav has already stolen it. He's now obligated to return it. The Yeushiv is like Zela. And if the Nignav gives up hope of ever returning retrieving his object, that's Yeush after Isura Asiliyadada. In other words, the Chiyuv Hashava that's incumbent upon the shoulders of the Ganav prevent the completion of the shame Ganav. And then we're going to have to say, Midrabbananhu, that any meaningful, significant, halakhically significant status that Yeush has in Gneva, that's only Midrabbanit Zetakonas Chachom. And we'll have to see in the next line of the Gemara why the Chachomim instituted this strange kind of kinyan to benefit the Ganov. Who cares about the Ganov? But before we get to that, I want to mention Tosis Divra Maschil Hocha. And the issue here is that Motzi Aveda, if a person finds an Aveda, he's not Zochaba unless he picked it up after Yeush Bailim. And that's the language of Kevin de Miyayish Moramine Mekami de Teisei Liyode. The owner of the lost object was Misyayish before the object came into the hands of the finder. Rabbi Safek, in the case of Yeush and Gneva, is simply because the Gneva came into the hands of the Ganav before Yeush. Says Tosfos, if a person finds an Aveda before Yeush, then Kona Osa B'Yeush L'Inyin Shein Chayev L'Hoshev Osa Chayev L'Shalei Mos Tachteo Kevin Sheba L'Yodo B'Yisu. Tosfos has a big chiddush here, and according to Tosfos' chiddush, towards the end of the page, he wants to suggest that Yeish is not like Hefker, and if there was Yeish after it came into the hands of the Motzi Aveda, in such a case, the Motzi has a chiv to pay Mos, to pay Domin. That's the Chiddush of Tosfos. The Rashba writes that if the Aveda came to the hands of the Motzi Beheta, meaning after there was Yeush, so the Hagbah of the Motzi was after Yeush, he doesn't have to pay Mos at all. In the case of Gneva that comes into the hands of the Ganav Be'iser, he has to pay Mos. The Suffolk of Rava is, as far as the Kinyan is concerned, can we equate the two and say that the Ganav is Kona the Guf HaBe'en, the Cheftz itself of the Gneva, just like a person is Kona the Guf HaBe'en of Metzia, if he picks it up after Yeish. Even though, again, he has to pay its Domin, as we saw earlier. Well, can we be machalic and differentiate between Aved on one side and Gnev on the other and say, even with regard to the Kinyan on the Be'en, that the Ganav doesn't have the ability to be Kona the Gnev a klal at all, whatsoever, the Raisa? Why? Because it came into his hands by Isa. Now, as far as the Rabbana level of Yeish as a Kinyan for Ganav is concerned, the Omer Rabbana Nikne, Mibnei Takaras HaShovin. The Rabbanan racked their brains to try to figure out what method could we use to entice a ganav to return to tshuva and return the object. Now, imagine if we take the Doraisa level of Eishiv Zagzela Shergaza. A ganav stole the object. Now he's got to go, if he wants to do tshuva, he has to go to the ends of the world, do all the efforts that he has to have to find the gneva and return it. Why not just make it easy on the ganav, entice him to do tshuva, say to him, look, we'll make a deal with you. Wherever the object is, it's yours. You know, you want to go fetch it and find it, that's your headache. However, as far as the payment is concerned, obviously, you know, you're chayav in Hashavas HaGzela, but no longer Hashavas HaBe'en. You're kona through Yeish the Be'en. Rabbi Yosef Omar, Yeish ain't a kona afilu min rabbanan. And we're going to soon see that Rav Yosef is going to invoke various prices to prove his point that there is no such thing as a Kinyan Yeish, even Midrabbanan, as far as Gnev is concerned. There may be other ways that the Ganav could be Kone, perhaps through Shinui, Maiseth, Shinui Hashem, but Yeish per se alone is not enough. Eisbe Rav Yosef LeRabba, we have a Mishnah later on in Sadi Vav Amid Beis, Gazal Chametz V'Yavrolava Pesach. We've discussed this mission on various occasions. A person steals chametz before Pesach. Okay, we have the bottle of whiskey that's worth a lot of money. And now it became Osir Bano because Pesach passed. And it became Chomet Shavuot Pesach was Osir Bano. And now we turn to some Vav Amid Beis. Is Omer... Now it's fascinating here. At this point... in time, once this bottle of whiskey has become Chomet Shavuot Pesach Osir Bano, it's basically valueless. Can the Ganav now say, look, I'm returning you the object? Says the Mishnah, Omer Lo, the Gazlan says to the Ganav, to the Nigzal, Harei Shel Cholof Anecho. The Mishnah paskins that the Gazlan doesn't have to even pay the value, the original value, Kishas HaGzela, which normally we say that carrot is Kishas HaGzela. Here, he just simply says, HaReishal Cholof Anecha. The Chometz is not worth anything, but nevertheless, HaReishal Cholof Anecha, the physical, biological, cellular structure of the object, that's what it is. There's a Hezek, but that's a Halachic Hezek, that's called Hezek Sheninika, Rashi says. V'lav Shmei Hezek. So now Rav Yosef is going to fear us, he's going to fill out his question and flesh it out. Oh, V'hai, this case of the Nigzal, Kavon Demata Idon Isura. Let's just think, if we could isolate that moment when the Shas Isur Chometz emerged, let's say Erev Pesach at Chatzos, Achilek. Is let's look at the Nigzal at this point. Vare miyach, there's no doubt about it that he's going to give us hope. He realizes that the Chometz in just a fraction of a second becomes Osir Bano. Visa kedaitich Yeush Kana. since this Yeish is Chal at the moment that the Chometz is about to become Osir, is Amai Omer, why does the Gazan have right to say the Nigzal Reishal Chol Fenecha? Dummy! Ma'alya, or Dmei Me'alya, Boy Shlumile, the Gazan should certainly have to pay for the full value of this bottle of whiskey, because he's Kone, the Chometz, this whiskey, by virtue of the Yeish Bailim, according to you, Rabba. And now, whenever Yeish is Kone, Rabba says, you have to pay Dmei HaGzela. So, once he has a chiv to pay Dom Gzela, why would the HaReishal Chol Fanech be able to be Mafkia, the halacha of Dmei HaChefetz? Here we have a famous kasha of the Achronim. You know, Rabba had a suffix in the din of Yeish, whether it's called Minat Torah in the case of Gzela, or it's only Minat Rabbanim because it's Takonis HaShovim. According to that side, that Yeish is called Mishum Takonis HaShovim, then L'chora, the Gazlan should have the right to waive this Takona that was made on his behalf and say, I don't want it to be Kona through Yeish. So how does Yeish engender a Chiyuv Domim? And the Achronim answer, that's exactly what Rav is going to say now. Om Aleh, which means Rav turns back to Rav Yosef in self-defense, Kika, I mean, I know, when did I say that a Gazlan is Kona through Yeush, and as a result he pays Domim? That's only Zer Misyayish V'Zerot Zaliknos. The Nigzal is Misyayish, and the Gazlan, for his part, would like to be Kona the object. He doesn't want to have the headache of running around looking for the object. So it's beneficial, it works on behalf of the Gazlan for him to want to have this Kinyan Yeush operate for his benefit. But high in the case of Chometz, which became Osir Banor, is Zemis Yaish. It's true that the Nigzal is going to give up hope, but Zeta wrote to Liknos. Why would the Gazan want to make the Kenyan? Well, what benefit does he get by being Kona Chometz Shavuot of Pesach? It's worthless. And on the contrary, he loses something, because as a result of Yaish, he has to pay Domin. So the Gazan is not, we cannot force down the throat of the Gazan that he should make a Kenyan. You know, there's no such thing as a kinyan bal korko shel adam. Meaning, the chiddush of Rabbah is that the takonas hashovim of Yeush and Gneva is not some sort of absolute independent takona, but rather it relates to each particular case, and it was established for the benefit of the Gazlan. And we have a general rule that whenever a takon is made to benefit someone, he always has the right to say thanks but no thanks. Now we have a question of Abaye on the suffix of Rabba, whether Yeush is Kona B'Gzela Minat Torah. Esve Abaye Le Rabba. We have a Braisa that's darshaning the parsha at the very beginning of Sefer Vayikra of Karbonos. There it says, Im Ola Karbono. Karbono means it's his Karbon. Karbono Velo Hagoz. Now, it's not clear to me why the Braisa finds it compelling, what compels the Braisa, I should say, to darshan this psul of Gozel and Karbon? What about the universal rule of Mitzvah Haba Bavera, which certainly applies to Karbonos? If you learn the Sugya in Lulav HaGozel, you'll see that the paradigm of Mitzvah Haba Bavera is Karbonos. But be that as it may, leaving that question for the time being on the side, this Braisa is going to be a very basic question on Yeish Kona, because if the problem of Gozel is that it's not Karbono, why is that a problem? Let the Gazlan be Kona with Yeush. Hechidon. So let's go through the variations and the possibilities, possible scenarios. Well, what's this Karbon Gozel that's possible? Ilema, if we're talking about Lifnei Yeush, if the Baal, the Nigzal, the owner of the Behem of the Karbon, wasn't Misyayish, is Lomeli Krup Shita? I don't need this new Psul to say it's Einarul Mizbeach because of the Psul of Gozel. Forget about it. It's Chulin. The animal is Chulin because the Nigzal never made it Hegdesh. And now the Gazlan, since he doesn't own the object, he doesn't have the power to make it Hegdesh. Eino de Magdish Dovar She'edu Shalo. I mean, you could say that that's good for the Chiddush here of this Pasuk, that the reason why it's Pasuk is because it's Eino Kadosh, it's Chulin Lazara. But that's certainly not the simple understanding. the source for Chulin Bazara is Ish Ki Yagdish is Beso Kodesh, is Beso Shalov Kol Shalov. Elalav, if there's a possibility that indeed the Maisa Akdosh, the Maisa Hegdish of the Gazan was meaningful, it's got to be Liachar Yeush. Ishma Mino Yeush Lo Koni. Now, why does the Torah, and why does the Braisa derive from the Torah that this Karbon is possible, and it's not Karbono, right? Karbono Velo God. So why isn't it Karbono? I mean, you just told me that it's Liachar Yeush, and Yeush is Kone. Now, again, to understand the logic of Abaye here in his kash, you have to assume that the Torah is telling us that even though the Gazel was kona this behemoth with Yeush and Shini Rishus, and that's enough to generate a Chalos Shem Hegdesh, but nevertheless it's not completely his, it's possible a Karbon because it's not Karbon, no. So again, we're in that gray area here, you know, between 0 and 100. You know, there's a whole array of possibilities here as far as who owns this object at this point. You know, the Ganav, the Gazlan, has two things in his favor. You know, he made a Hotzav Rishus Bailim, we call it Shini Rishus, and at the same time, the Nignav was Misyayish. So he's got two things in favor of him, and that's going to facilitate his power, his ability to be Magdish the Behemoth. So it's not Chulin Lazor. And yet at the same time it's possible, apparently it's possible because it's not Karbano, it's Gazel. Now if Yeush was a full-fledged Kenyan, which means the Gazel was Kona the Gzela through Yeush, then why can't he be Makri of this Karban? In other words, even if the Hegdish is Chal through Yeush and Shina Rishus, nevertheless the Hegdish was through an Avera. And that's a Psul of Avera over here. If that's what the Torah has in mind, then it doesn't make sense because Yeush, in and of itself, according to Rabbah, is Kona. So once the Yeush is Kona, there's no Psul of Mizbeach, there's no Avera that's inherent in the Karban. The Karban itself was Nikna, the Behema was Nikna to the Gazlan through Yeush. And if that be the case, there's no Psul Avera over here. And this is the Yisod HaYisodos and Mitzvah Bob Avera of Kinyan Yeush, that where Kinyan Yeush is valid, there's no Psul Avera in the Guf HaChefza. To summarize, according to Tosfos at least, Divrei Maskil Shema, the premise is that according to Abaye, if there was Yeush, the Hegdish is Chal, the Hegdish of the Gazlan is Chal. What's Mufka, according to Rabbah, and that's where Abaye objects, because Abaye accuses Rabbah of going too far, is that once Yeush is Kona, not only does that empower the Gazlan to be Magdish the animal and make it into Kedushas Mizbeach, but moreover, it removes the Shema Vera from the Chefetz Shel Karbon, because he was Kona by virtue of the Yeush of the Bailam, of the Nigza. By the way, the Rashba is in line with Tosis, but the Ravid wants to claim that according to Abaye, even after Yeush, the Hegdish of the Gazlan is not Chal at all. Now the Torah is the Chiddush of this Pasuk of Karbon of Allah Gazlan is to teach me that the Yeush itself is not Kodav Gzeilu. That's the Kunz of the Rabbi, that's how he learns Abaye. In any event, Rava comes to defend Abaye against the onslaught of Abaye. Amale Rava turns to Abaye and he says, Ulitaymech, you know what, there's another Braisa. You've quoted one Braisa, which seems to assume that Yeush is not Kohen of Gzela. And, because otherwise, why would this carbon be possible in Mizbeach? However, what about another Braisa? Now, this second Braisa, we'll call Braisa number 2, is addressing the Parsha of Tumas Zav. And this is in Vayikra Perek Tes Vav. And a Zav is an Avi Avos HaTumah. And the Torah was Mechadish that Mishkav HaZav, when he sleeps on his bed, the bed itself also becomes an Av HaTumah. Now, the special status of an Av HaTumah is that it's Metameh Begodim, it's Metame Odom, it's Mekadim Kalim, it has a very broad scoped power of transferring Tumah. And in the Parsha, the Vayukat Hesvav, it says, V'ish Asher Yiga B'Mishkovo, if someone comes in contact with the Mishkav, the bed of a zav, yechabis brother rochets maim tomet arif. He's tomet tumas erev, and he becomes through the mishkav zav an av hatuma. He is himself is metami al devikelu. And the Braisa says mishkavo, when the pasuk is very meticulous and says mishkavo, it's tishmi v'lo agozel. That is that the status of mishkav hazav through this gzeiras hakovs of mishkavo is contingent on bailus. If the zav has bailus over the mishkav, then the mishkav is mitame. It becomes an avatuma to mitame a man, but not mishkav agozel. And again, the question arises: What about Yeish? Hechidom, ilema de gozal amra v'avde mishkav. If the case of this brisa is such that the zav stole wool and he made a mattress out of it, a mishkav is mikol aman diom shidim maisel okani. Forget about Rava's issue about Yeish being Konin, but there's one simple case that nobody denies and nobody questions, and that's what we call Shidu Maisa, when the Gazan actively changes the object. If he changes the object, it's a brand new object, Panim Chadosh is Bolakan, and that's called Shinui Maisa. And Rava and Rav Yosef never had a machlokas about Shidu Maisa. They both agree that Shidu is Kona. They only debated the issue of Yeish without Shin. Tosfos here, Dibur Haskel B, adds that Rav Yosef is moda to Rabba, that even in the case of a Shini Achozel Libriyoso, there is a Kinyan Shinu. And Tosfos furthermore says that according to Beit Shammai, even Beit Shammai that holds Shinu is not Kona, and there may be other Tanoim who agree with Beit Shammai, but nevertheless, we pass like Beis Hillel that Shinu is Kona. So to say that this brisa that we're learning now, Mishkava v'lo ha-gozel, is a reflection of or attributed to Beit Shammai, that's very difficult. And that's why the Lashon HaShas here of Rava, Mi'iko l'man di'om shidim ma'isel okani, is not now for sure the Zav, by converting the wool into a mattress, is Kone b'shinu. So why isn't it mitami biavatumo? Ela ma'islach lememra the gozal mishkav de chavre. He stole a mattress. Not that he created a mattress. Now the pasuk is telling me that the zav is not mitami the mishkav bishchivaso when he lies on this mattress, unless it's his. Now hachinama. Why not assume, based on that brisa of Mishkav, that he stole a Mishkav, now go back and plug this kind of same framework, same structure to the brisa that Abai originally quoted about Karbono v'lo ha-gozel, why not assume it's Gozal Karbon the Chavre? Not the case that we discussed at great length, and Abai assumed that the Gazlan had stolen an animal that was chulin, and the Gazlan was magdishit, which he's allowed to do through Yesh and Shinu Rishus. No. He stole the carbon of his friend. So if you ask me, why is the Hekdesh Chal, the Mizbeach? It's because it was Chal by virtue of the Hakdosha of the original Bailin. The Gazlan now wants to be makir the carbon for his own purposes. And the Pasuk of the Drasha of Karbono V'lo HaGozul, right, is now coming to teach us that he cannot fulfill his chiyuv havas karmon, even though the nigzal was misyayish. So it means the following: even if I grant you that Rabba is correct and that Yush in general is kona in every gzeil, but here, when it comes to karbonos, there's a separate halacha. A karbon is not subject to gzeil. Meaning Hegdesh is not Nigzal. You can't steal Hegdesh. Now Rashi, Sof Dibra Maschil, the Gozal Karbon the Chavre, he wants to raise the question, why can't you steal Hegdesh? You tell me as a general rule you can Gazan could be Kona with Yeush. Why is Hegdesh different? Says Rashi, Kol Hegdesh Isa be Gazad Rachmana Isa. In other words, there are kinyonim that you could make because you've taken the object outside of the Rishus Bailin. But in the case of Hegdesh, you can never take the object outside of the Rishus Bailin. wherever the object is on the face of the earth, it is considered rishus bialim. That's called kolheita de isa, be gaza de rachmona isa. Now Tosus here, Dibra Maskel Gozel, the second one, has an interesting question. He says, why do we need a pasuk to exclude a korban gozel if we're talking about a chatos and the gaza wants to be mechaper himself for his avera? So then, even without the drasha of korban v'lo gozel, pshita can't be mechaper for the gazlan, because even for the bialim themselves, it's only mechaper for that avera for which he brings the chatas, but not for a different avera. So now the gazlan is chaya for gzelan; he's bringing a korban chatas for a different chait. And if the brisa is talking about a case of a korban ola or a todah or a shlomim, so Misha Hoya Bailon Bishas Hegdish Miskapulahem, the Ola, the Torah, Tov, etc., could be Mechapa for the Bailon Bishas Hegdish. But you can't sell something. You know, Hegdish in Kapara terms is not transferable. So therefore, why do I need this Drosha to establish that the Gazan cannot be Miskapa with this Karbon, even if he would be Konim Yada Bailon, like of a Lokeach who buys a Karbon from Bailon, he couldn't be Yotzi Yadecho Vasa? So Tosus claims that this brisa is talking about Korban Pesach. Somebody stole a Korban Pesach of his chavera, and now he wants to fulfill his mitzvah Korban Pesach. So it's not your classical case of kapara like chatos and ola. And if not for the drasha of korban v'lo gozel, is the gazel could fulfill his chi of Korban Pesach, because Pesach is the one korban that yeshno mechira. So let's say, for example, Reuven owns a Korban Pesach; he can sell it to Shimon. And if Shimon now acquires ownership, and it's therefore it's carbono, then he should be able to bring this carbon. And that's the way Tosus wants to interpret our case. Bottom line, let's just summarize. The Gemara now defends the position of Rabbah, that Eino Chinami, a gazlan can be kone b'yeush, but the exception is going to be when he wants to be kone hegdesh. He cannot be kone hegdesh through Yeush, because the Torah has an explicit extra word, a drasha of karbono v'lo ha-gozel, and therefore it's not a karbon that could be ole l'shem ha-gozel, even if it would be a karbon pesach. Now we're ready for Abaye's kasha, not his attack on Rava, which we just learned, but now his attack on Rav Yosef. He's switching sides over here, because Rav Yosef is of the opinion that Yeush ain't no kone of Gzela. There's no kid. So let's take a few minutes introducing the sugya of Mishnayis Kelim. And this is the famous case of Oros or Itzba. And we're talking about whether or not an object in its raw form is a keli. That's what Masechta Kelim is all about, because Kabbalah's Tumah only applies to a keli. You need a chalashem keli. Now, sometimes you have natural objects which, if you improve them, they become, the raw material transforms into a keli. Sometimes, even without transforming it into a keli through physical change, you have what's called machshava or yichud. And what you could decide if you own the object is that even though it's a raw material, it's fine. I'm going to use it as is. I'm not going to add anything. Let's say, for example, in the case of oros, normally we would take these oros, these skins, and these hides, and we'd make them into shoes. That requires, obviously, a lot of work. But sometimes you can use the hides as is, you know, to cover a surface. And in such a case, through yichud, once the owner has made a decision that he will use the raw material as is in its present state, it becomes a kli and it's mekabel tumah. Now, if he's not miyachid it, even though in the theoretical abstract world of the universe it can be used as is, but we assume that that's not going to happen. Stam oros limin olim olakelim. In other words, raw materials are usually used to manufacture a kli, a utensil of a more sophisticated state. And therefore, if you didn't manufacture it yet, it's not Mekabel Tumah, it's not called a Kli. Machsheves HaBaylam, as we said before, to use the physical raw object, the hides as is, as they are, that's enough to make them into a Kli to be Mekabel Tumah. Unless we have reason to believe that the Baylam only made a temporary kind of transient decision and he's going to change his mind. And that's the subject of the mission at the end of Caleb. Esve Abaye L'Rav Yosef, Oros Shel Balabayis. In the case of Balabayis, he doesn't sell. He's not in the manufacturing business. He's not in the, you know, selling merchandise. If he decides that he wants to take these Oros and use them for his purposes, benefit from them as is, or as they are, as we said, is Machshava Metamosam. His decision itself is called Yichud Keli. And even though most people would not use the Kli as is, they would, you know, use it for more sophisticated after changing the Guf HaChefetz, but he's the Baal HaBayis, he owns these Oros, he can make that decision, and now it's a Kli, it's Mekabel Tumah. But Vishel Avdon, if he's in business, he's in the manufacturing business, he's in sales, and he sells shoes, is Eina Machshava Metamosam, even though at one moment in time he decided that he wants to use the hides as they are, but nevertheless, those Kalim, through his Machshava, not Ru'uyim LeKabbalas Tumah, why not? Because we assume that in all likelihood he's going to change his mind. You know, for the benefit of making a profit on the market, he'll certainly decide Chaval to waste these hides as they are, you know, and if I want to use them to make sandalim, to make sandals. So there's no gemar malacha, and his machshava is not enough to make it into a kli. That's the introduction to this keli, and that's to this mishnah in keli, but that's not the part of the mishnah that really occupies our mind. We're more fascinated by the machlokes, chachom and Reb Shimon, that's about to come around the bend. The mishnah now discusses the case of a gadov and the case of a gazan. You know that a ganav comes stealthily, you know, sneaking, burrowing his way into the house of the nignav, whereas the gazan accosts the nignav and takes it face to face, begiuli, b'yedias habayim. So now what happens when we find that somebody steals oros? And the Mishnah establishes that, according to the Chachamim, before we get to Reb Shimon, shel ganav, if it's a case of a ganav, machshova mitam asan. If the ganav decides that he will use these oros, these hides, as they are, that makes it into a keli, and the oros are called ru'uyim lekabalas tumah, because the bailim have no clue who the ganav is. The ganav came stealthily, hidden by the mantle of darkness, and they are misyayish. And therefore the ganav is kona through yayish. And therefore he is the bailim, he's in the driver's seat to decide through his machshava to be miyachidit as a kli, and therefore it's royi lekabel tumah. But shel gazlan, in the case of a gazlan, where the nigzal knows exactly, you know, the identity of the gazlan, because they encountered each other face to face, ein machshava, meaning the thought process of the gazlan, his decision, mitamosan. Why? Because the bailim know exactly who the gazlan is. They'll somehow, you know, they have recourse to use bezdin to get back their gzela, and therefore there's no yeish. Rav Shimon Omer Chiluf Advarim. Rav Shimon agrees fundamentally that whether or not the gazlan slash ganav could transform through his machshav and his yichud to make it royal lekabel tumah, because he wants to use it as is, that depends on whether there's yeish or the nigzal, yeish or the nignal or not. However, Chiluf Advarim, he thinks the psychology is just the opposite of the chachamim. Shel gazlan, the case of a gazlan who's this big, burly, you know, gigantic, you know, guy, is machshav mitamosa, and he has no chance, the nigzal, to get this gazlan, you know, this mafioso guy, into court and reclaim his object. And therefore the Bailam Amisyaish. But Shel Ganov, we don't know who the Ganov is. Obviously he's a chicken, you know, he's a fraidy cat, you know, he didn't have the gumption and the audacity to face and encounter the Nigzal face to face. He's a Ganov, he's not a Gazlan. And therefore Machshava Metamosa L'fisha Lo Nisyashu Abayim, the Bailam are not going to give up hope. Why? Because the Ganov who hid himself, he wasn't willing to come Begili Rush. He's not an Ish Alim, as we would say. He's not a powerful guy. The Bailim are therefore going to assume that, you know, we will hire detectives, we'll determine and identify who the Ganav is, we'll get it back through Beis Din, and they're not going to be Mesiyash. And if the Machshava of the Ganav, the Machshava of the Ganav is not Metama, that's going to Reb Shimon. But what we see clearly, and this is what Abai wants to sort of zip it all up here and frag his cash on Rav Yosef, Ishmami no Yeish Kana. Again, maybe Machlokes between the Chachomim and Rav Shimon, exactly in which case there is Yeush, whether it's the case of Gneva, the case of Gzela. But there definitely is a universal acceptance and recognition of Yeush Bailim, and Yeush is Kona. Shmami no Yeush Kona. And it's Kona to such an extent that now the Gazlan, or the Ganav, depending upon whose sheet you are, right? It's the Ganav in the sheet of Chachom, it's the Gazlan in the sheet of Rav Shimon, is in the driver's seat, it's his bailus. He now can create a kli out of something that's in and of itself is not really a kli, and now becomes royal Kabbal Tumah based on his intellectual or mental decision to use it as it is. So now Rav Yosef is hard pressed. He's got to answer Abaye in what I call an ukibta. He's got to assume that, hey, you know what, this brisa, this Mishnah in Kelim is talking about a very specific case. And the case is such that it's not pure Yeush alone. You're right, the Gazlan or the Ganav, Markidisa is Kona, but not through Yeush alone. Exclusive, so if you sing a lot of Yeush, that's enough. Achmai's Kiddush Goshe Kitz on. The Ganav or the Gazlan did something more. He took one step, he took the law into his own hands, and he actively starts cutting the corners of these hides, straightening out the hide in such a way that it's usable. You know, put it on your table as a tablecloth, or wear it around your shoulders to warm you up in the winter, whatever it might be. And then the Machshava of the Ganav is Metama means something else. It doesn't mean Machshava alone, as the Mishnah formulates it, is Metama, because that would be Yeish alone. That's not enough to engender Kinyona, but rather it's a Machshava im Kitzua. There is an action here. So we have now a combination of two factors. We have Shidui Maisa, and we have Kinyan Gaza. But here Tosus Dibaraskal Kagon has a major problem, because we've seen in the past that even Rav Yosef agrees that if there's Shinu Maisa, that's Kona Kinyan Gomur in the case of a Gazan, we don't need Yeish. So why this whole debate between the Chachomim and Rav Shimon recorded in this price as to whether there was Yeish, there wasn't Yeish, Ganav and Gazan, forget about all that. Kitsua per se should be sufficient as a Kinyan Shinu Maisa to acquire the object for the Gazan in a total complete way, and therefore his Machshov is Kovea Royal Kabbal Tumah. What do we need Yeish here? Why this whole debate about yes, Yeish, no Yeish? And Tosus is so hard pressed by this question that he answers that Kitsua Eno Neshav Shinu Maisa Gom, that there are different gradations and different levels of Shinu Maisa. You know, he just snipped off the sides and squared off the hides. That's not considered a real full-fledged Shinu Maisa. It needs a tziruf of two factors. It needs A plus B. We need Yeish Bailim, the Nignal, well, the Nigzal was Mesiyash, plus the Gan of the Gazlan did an action called Kitsua, which is a partial Miktas Shinu Maisa. Again, Tosa doesn't explain how these two, you know, we usually in math we say 0 plus 0 equals 0. And if Yeish alone, according to Rav Yosef, is not sufficient, and if Shinu Maisa in the case of Kitsua is not a real Shinu Maisa, and alone it cannot be sufficient to create a Kinyan, so how do you add two things, you know, both of which really amount to zero, and you create a one out of 0 plus 0? That Tosus doesn't answer. You should know that the Ramban in Milchamas Hashem is of the opinion that Kitsua is a Shinu Maisa Gomer, and it could be Kona the R through that Shinu Maisa. Yeah, the only thing is, so why do you need Yeush here in this whole sukkah? The answer is that in order for the R to have a shame kli, as far as Kabbalah's Tumah is concerned, you need what's called a Machshava Muchletes. You know, you want to use it and designate it for, let's say, covering your table or sleeping on it, you need a Machshava Muchletes. And a Machshava Muchletes is another condition. It's not enough that you have a Kinyan. Meaning, if the God of the Nignav or the Nigzal really intends and hopes that he's holding on to his hopes that he'll get it back, then there cannot be a machshava muchletes on the part of a so-called bailim. And therefore, without Yush Bailim, the machshavas haganim the gazlan to be miyachid this for whatever purpose he needs it for, to sleep on or whatever, is that's not going to be enough to engender a kli l'kabbalas tumah, even though he was kona v'shinui maisa. That's the radical chiddush here of the Ramban. Now, obviously, if Rav Yosef is hard-pressed to set up this Mishnah with an ukimta, namely that we're talking about a case of ktsia, of kitzon, that's always going to be a kind of b'dieved, a kind of fallback position. Maskifle Rabba Bar Hanan, if you look at the Mishnayis and the sequence of Mishnayis there at the end of Kalim Perchavav, you will see itzba shanukan. The subject of the Mishnah is the case of an itzba. An itzba is a kind of a table from which you eat, off which you eat. I'm not sure what language itzba is. I suspect it's not Aramaic, because the Gemara soon is going to reinterpret it. The Aruch is famous for saying that an itzba is a kisui. Sheminichim al-okaf ha-behema. That has to do with a saddle. But it's used only to cover something. And that's why we're less makbid about its tzura. And that's what it says over here. Itzba shanukam ve-itzba ein tzricha ki tzua. When you're using it for a saddle, says the Aruch, there's no need to cut the sides. You know, the animal, you sit on the saddle and that's it. Doesn't matter how meticulous you are. You're not trying to win first prize in some contest. And therefore, there's no purpose of kitsua. There's no need for kitsua. And if he decides to cut off the edges through kitsua, that's not called a shini maisa at all. Shini maisa is only chal when it is meaningful. So even if he, the God of the gods, had decided to do this kitsua, that's not enough to make it into a shini maisa. And therefore, the underlying principle here in this Mishnah that gives the Ganav or the Gazlan the ability to create a kli through his machshava, it must be yeush. It can't be shini maisa, because we're not talking about the kind of object that lends itself to the shini maisa of kitsua. And how do we know that this sequence or this series of Mishnayos in Perek Vav Mikelim the subject of these brises is itzba? That's what Rabba Bar Rav Hanan illustrates, and he quotes the Mishnah Disnan Kol Mokom She'ein Chisaron Molacha. In other words, in any situation of a hide, you know, some natural raw material that doesn't need any tikkun, in other words, it can be used as is, in such a case, there's no need, says the Mishnah, there's no requirement of machshava. I'm sorry. Is machshava mitamasa, since the object itself, in its raw state, lends itself to a certain use, therefore, the machshava itself is enough to engender a shem kli and make it into royal kabel tumah. Yesh chisar malacha, but if it's something that needs a tikkun, you really have to work hard, like we spoke about making it into shoes, is then ein machshava mitamasa. You're going to need the tikkun itself. Chutz mina itzva. Itzva comes under a separate category, even though it needs a little bit of kitsua in order to beautify it and embellish it. But nevertheless, it's considered a kli through machshava alone, without changing it. Because many people would use this R as an itzva, even without kitsua. So it's not butler daito itzel kolot. And therefore it's logical that the Mishnah subsequently, the very next Mishnah, is also addressing the case where Machsheves HaGazlan or HaGanav on Oros is referring to a case of Itzba, that he decides to designate these Oros as an Itzba, whatever an Itzba is. And since it doesn't need Kitsua, then forget about Shini Maisa, as Rabbi Yosef would have had it. The Gazlan or the Ganav is Kona with Yish alone. And this is undermines Rav Yosef's opinion. Elomar Rava. Rava therefore tries to offer an alternative answer to the question that we asked. Hai Milsa Koshi Be Rabbal Rav Yosef Esri Vitaratin Shnin. This question bothered the mind of Rav Yosef for 22 years. Veloi Farka, they didn't have an answer. Because after all, Rav is telling you that here Yesh is clearly is coded, and therefore the Machshavas Hagazla or Hagadav is enough to engender a Kabbalah's Tuma, a royal Kabbalah's Tuma. Adi Yosef Rav Yosef Bereshu Farka. At some point in his life, Rav Yosef was elected after the death of Rava to the position of Rosh Hashiva. This is Sugyan Horios, Taf Yudal. And when Rav Yosef was elected, he answered the question of Rava, and he says, Shinui Hashem Kishinui Maisedom. Now, Rabosa, we've been discussing the kinyan of a gazlan or a ganov in two different categories. One, through Shinui Maisa, and two, through Yeish. And Yeish was machlok between Rava and Rav Yosef. Now we have a third category to deal with, put it on the table. And that's called Shinui Hashem. Shinui Hashem means where the object no longer has the same identity. For example, you take wood, logs of wood, and you form, you know, cups or any sort of utensils out of them. That, says Rav Yosef, is clearly a kinyan b'torah Shinui Shem. And perhaps what Rav Yosef has in mind is the pasuk that says v'heishiv sagzeil asher gazal. But the gzeil asher gazal no longer exists in the world. It's been changed. That's called Shinui Hashem. And Rav Yosef elevates and upgrades the status of Shinui Hashem to make it equal to the status of Shinui Maisa. My taima, I don't know the word hosam. My taima hosam, even without the word hosam. My taima meikara etziv ashtekalim. It is what we call, to use a barred phrase, the part of Chadoshos Bolakan. It's no longer Kain Shigazal. And, you know, some Rishonim want to argue that Shinui Maisa is also really based on Shinui Hashem. But right now we're going to assume that Shinui Maisa and Shinui Hashem are two separate categories. And the finish here after 22 years of racking their brains is Rav Yosef is now the Rosh Hashiva, and he says there's a new category that a Gazal could be called B'Shinui Maisa. And I meant to say Shinui Hashem. Is Shinui Hashem Nami Meikara Korile Mashcha? Now, you know, before we used the Hebrew word R, now we want to use the Aramaic word Mashcha. Vahashta, again, before we used the Greek word Itzba, now we're using the Aramaic word Abarzin. Now you call it a table. So in other words, Machlokas Chachom and Reb Shimon is not a proof that Yeish itself is Kona. You know, Yeish itself would not be Kona. The reason why the Machsheves HaGazlon or HaGanov, Markedisle, etc., on the R to be Miachidit for an Itzba is meaningful, is because once the Ganov of the Gazlon are Miachidit for an Itzba, the shame changes. That's called Shini Hashem. And a Gazlon could be Kona B'Shini Hashem together with Yeish. So again, it's never going to be Shinui, it's not going to be Yeish, says Rabbi Yosef, it's not going to be Yeish alone that clinches the Kenyan on behalf of the Gazlon, but it's going to be Yeish with something else. And the Hamini Gemara thought that Rabbi Yosef would have to say, it's Yeish with Shinui Maisa. But the Gemara says now we're talking about an Itzva and it doesn't need Ketzia, so the whole concept of Shinui Maisa is totally irrelevant. But now we're talking about Yeish plus Shinui Hashem. And Shinui Hashem means you no longer call it by its old name. Again, you have to ask yourself the question, and that's Tosfos' question, Dima Askel Shinui, why isn't Shinui Hashem itself independently enough to be Kona? And Tosfos says it's not called a Shinui Gomur, like a Shinui Maisa. It's only the way we call it, but nothing physically really changed over here. He made a mental decision he's going to use it for an Itzba as it is. But nevertheless, there is a Shinui Hashem. When the Shinui Hashem plus Yeush, again the old question of 0 plus 0, but A plus B equals C, and some of the combination of A, Shinui Hashem, although it's on a much lower level than Shinui Maisa, together with B, Yeush, generates a kinyan. We'll just read the next few words in the Gemara as an introduction to tomorrow's shiur. Frank the Gemara, and this is a question on Rav Yosef, who says that Shiri Hashem is konavari morish. There's a special takonas shashovim with regard to, again, the epitome case, the paradigm case of morish. Morish is a beam, and the Gazan stole this beam. You know, this is a very sophisticated beam that has quite a value to it, and what he did was he built it into a house. That's what you do with these beams. And because of Takonis Morish, which is a Mishnah in Masech Elios Perek Zayin, the Gazlan doesn't have to return the Morish. We're not going to require the Gazlan in trying to, again, entice him to do tshuva. We're not going to say to him, well, you know, you got to take apart this whole structure that you paid $1 million for the construction of it in order to return his, you know, the Nigzal's Morish, his Korah. Frek the Gemara, I don't get it. Why do we need this whole takonas morish? This takonas hashav, drop it, leave it out. The Iko Shini Hashem. This is a classical case of Shini Hashem. The Gazan was Kona, the object, which Shini Hashem. The Neikara Kishura. Initially it was called a Kora. Vahashta Tlola. Tlola is the Aramaic word for a roof. You know, he built this Kora, he built this beam into his roof. It has a whole new name. And if, according to Rav Yosef, the Gazan is Kona through Shini Hashem, is Utnan, why did the Mishnah have to say, this is the Edus of Rabbi Nechunya in the Mishnayis of Edios, Al Amorish HaGozel Shebno Bebira, Shenotel Domov, that the Gazan, if he built this beam into the house, into, you know, into the structure, then the Chacham made a Takona that the Nigzal could only take the domim, but he cannot force the Gazlan to take apart this structure and return his beams, to make it easier for the Gazlanim to do tshuva, that they won't have to take apart their entire house to fulfill the mitzvah of Eishes HaGzeilah Shagaza. Time of the Mishnah says in Edios, why is it that the Gazlan pays domim and he doesn't have to take apart this bira, this whole structure, is mitnei takonas hashovim? And here we're looking at Samach Zayim Ra'al. For lavach, if not for takonas hashovim, is hoder b'ene. Then indeed, the Gazan would have to somehow return the beams, even if it means taking apart his entire thing. But what happened to the halach of shinui hashem? Omer Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef answers, and this is very surprising, Morish Shmo Olav, even after he builds the beam into the building, and it's a permanent part of the structure, nevertheless it still has the shame Morish, and therefore the halach of Shini Hashem will not apply. And Rav Yosef feels compelled to prove and invoke, you know, to establish a compelling argument that Koros, even though you set it in a permanent way into a building, still retain the shame Morish. And that's going to be based on the Braisa, which Amir Tzashem, we're going to... well, you know what? Let's just push it one more minute here, because we'll have other answers to this question about why Morish is not called Shini Hashem. But Tisanya, this is based on Parashat Yechezkel. It says there, V'tzal'os habayis veha uvim. In other words, when Yechezkel had this vision of a prophecy in which he was shown by HaKadosh Baruch Hu the tzura of the Beis HaMikdash, the third bayis, the vision is described as salos habayis. And the Braisa says that what is salos habayis? Elu ha-maltitin. What's maltitin? Maltitin are these thin, long strips of wood that are used as a framework for doors or for entranceways. So let's say, for example, you have a window or you have an entranceway and you want to create a framework for it. That's called maltitin. And in the Lashon of the Tanakh, that's called salos. And then the pasuk ends with ha-uvim. What are uvim? So the Braisa establishes elu hamar merishos. These are the long, thick beams that make up, you know, are used to form the structure of the roof. So we see quite clearly that even though these were used already in the Beis HaMikdash to form the Bayis Shlishi, nevertheless they're still called the uvim. Uvim, they maintain their status, their shame. So there's no Shini Hashem over here. It's still called a Morish, even if it's built into the structure. Okay, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow.